Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Did you guys know that the Circus of Values clown in Bioshock is actually Ken Levine? Welcome to the Circus of Values. That's actually Ken Levine saying that. The guy who made that game in System Shock.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah,
I've never actually played
low budget
the,
or what? Or maybe he just wanted to put himself
I guess
in.
It's just like
welcome to the Circus.
Like an Easter egg or something. But yeah, I was listening to a podcast with him on it, and he was talking about it. And he's like, oh yeah, that was me. And he did the voice, and it sounded exactly like it was in the game. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
The game's so creepy.
So let's talk a little bit about the screenshot contest. So that the due date on that is July 31st. If you haven't submitted something, please do.
So by next podcast, we will announce the winner on the next podcast, right?
Yep. And we're going to have to come to an agreement on what we think is the best one.
And there's only 9 to choose from at this moment. So, I mean, if you're the 10th one, you have a 10% chance of winning.
Yeah. Get yours in by the end of the month, so...
Pretty easy, just link
some
it
pretty good ones.
In the discussion thread.
Pretty not-so-great ones.
They're all good in different ways.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we all got our own opinions and tastes on it. I don't know which ones I kind of like, but I don't think they're the same ones you guys like. So
yeah, this is probably going to be harder than I thought it was to come to a consensus.
Yeah, we might have to end up flipping coins between our top three.
But, yeah, if you haven't already, joined our Steam group, DL Gaming. We've got a bunch of discussion threads going on in there, favorite mods. We got a good one. Someone posted EVE Online.
Liz Bell did that.
Yeah, in case you're wondering how to get started and stuff, he did a really in-depth starter guide.
Yeah.
Which I should have read when before I played, but I don't even think I'm at that point. I just got through the tutorial, so I'm sure there's nothing I could do.
Yeah, I didn't go over the guide too much, but I did check out his YouTube channel, and he's got a lot of PvP combat, and as he's engaged in battle, he's explaining everything the whole way through. He's saying what you want to do. He's pointing out mistakes that he made, and it's really interesting. Like, just watching an EVE Online, like, ship-for-ship battle happening, it's pretty cool to watch.
I'm going to have to check those out, because right now I'm suck at combat in that game. I'm thinking I'm going to have to go into mining or production or something, because...
Well, have you done any player versus player?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, like, from my understanding, player versus player is you use your actual ship, and when you die, your ship's gone. So I don't know if you necessarily should be jumping in until you have enough ISK to, like, make it worthwhile.
Have many ships.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's incorrect. That's just what I.
Well, if you got some ships to spare, you know, take them into battle. Why not? You know, if you don't mind losing them.
Well, apparently you can make some pretty good money doing like the Galactic or the, I forget what they're called, the PvP battles that you can sign up for.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of World of Warcraft. At the end was the PvP. So I'm glad when a large scale MMO game like that has a lot of PvP.
Yeah, it does have a lot. That's for sure.
So, yeah, I got through the tutorial, and there's just, like, a whole lot of nothing going around. It almost feels like a text adventure, really. I mean, it looks all really beautiful and stuff if you look up, but most of the time you're just looking at the data at the bottom. And it's, like, a very beautiful backdrop that doesn't really matter. Like, you're looking at the numbers. You're looking at how close you are to something.
Well, I'll have to sit down with you and kind of show you what I've learned. You know, I've been gone all week, so we haven't had a chance to sit down and actually talk about it. But next week, I'll help you out a little bit, show you the things that I've learned, and see if you like it at that point. You know,
okay. I haven't played enough to know if I like it or not.
Yeah, just and there's so a lot to do.
Yeah,
and not a lot of direction that's given to you. So it's one of those games that you really make it what you want it to be, and the amount of work you put in is the amount of reward you get out of it, you know, that sort of game.
Now, when I might start really liking it is when Eve puts Valkyrie in it. I don't know if this is going to be an overlay that's going to be able to be played within Eve, or it's a separate, complete game. But they're doing the same thing that a lot of other games are doing. They're making a virtual reality dogfighting sim. So, you know, Oculus... flying around in space. You know, a lot of the way the Oculus is going is anything that you're sitting in a cockpit, including Euro Truck Simulator, those are the most immersive because you're sitting in your computer chair. So it feels like you're in a spaceship or any kind of cockpit. If it does work out to the point where they're going to put fighter ships in EVE, I think it's going to be a separate game because I really don't think that the engine can
it's
hold.
It's probably like Dust that they did where it's a like Dust was a first-person shooter. It was a shooter. I'm not sure if it was first or third, but it was a shooter that existed in the EVE universe, and it affected, my understanding is it affected the game, but you're not playing, it's right. Not like you can see the ships flying overhead.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Another game that was announced for Oculus that's, again, in a cockpit is Pacific Rim, because the way you control those big-ass things is like...
That's cool.
They literally wear virtual reality headsets mm-hmm. when they're in there. So I really doubt that you're going to have to work as a pair with somebody else, but that would be fucking sweet, dude.
That would be ridiculous.
Like, two people working as in continuity with each other to try to beat two other people that are controlling one giant robot or whatever. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's like Octodad to like the...
Yeah.
Pacific Rim. That'd make a good game. They haven't really made a game out of that yet, have they?
No.
How could they not? Remember, what is that, War of the Monsters, where you played as the monsters that fought each other in the city? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They should just do a monster fighting game.
Well,
like
this
that.
Seems pretty cool. If they pull this off, they were at Comic-Con. Like, a few people tweeted how really cool it was.
Comic-Con, man. I'm glad that's all over with.
Yeah. Did it screw up traffic?
Yeah, traffic was pretty gnarly down by where I live.
Did you people watch? I heard there was some craziness going on.
Oh, there's always craziness going on. And you know, I'm right by a trolley stop, too, so I just see them all day. But I didn't go to Comic-Con this year. I went 3 times, and one of those times was back like before it was big, like 2004 or 5
okay,
or something.
Cool,
I know, yeah. Right?
So but, hip.
But I like going, walking the floor, seeing everything. I don't like doing panels and stuff, and that's only fun for about one day for me. So I go every couple of years, but this year did not happen.
I've been here. I'm a huge comic book fan, and huge fan of all things that are at Comic-Con. I've never been, and it's literally been a mile or two from my house for like several years.
People are flying in to see this, and you...
Well, you can't even get a ticket, even if you tried. You know, you got to be on the list, and they're super expensive. And honestly, the best seat is on your couch watching YouTube. You know, I was down there probably about 10 o'clock one night. I saw people waiting in line for something that was happening the next day. And there's no way you'd catch me doing that. It's going to be on YouTube like in 2 more days. So, you know, just wait it out.
Are you going to go next year?
I don't know if I'll go next year.
Well, if there's a panel for, you know, some PC gaming thing, you're going to have to go.
Maybe we
get on the floor, Bobby.
Yeah, maybe we can get press passes next year.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I did do down there, though? It's not so much Comic-Con that I like, but everything else that happens when Comic-Con comes to town. Usually Patton Oswalt has a show. Sometimes they do live readings of shows. Like they had a Bob's Burgers one year. I went to go see a live show of The Nerdist 1 year, too. But this year, I went and saw Video Games Live, which I've been trying to see for years now. I almost went a few years ago when it was up in Anaheim.
This is the concert?
Mm-hmm. It's the San Diego Symphony. One guy puts it on, Tommy Tuccarelli. I can't remember his last name. And he's a composer for video games. And he brings in all these other composers, people who write music, conduct music for video games. They had the guy from Bioshock, from Cave Story, all these people. They do this one act that's really popular, the Tetris Opera. You can look it up on YouTube. But it was really cool to see video game music done by a full orchestra. It was great. Like I said, I've been trying to do that for a couple of years now. So I finally got the opportunity to go. Had to fight through the thick of the Comic-Con crowd to get there, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
Did you walk? You walked, right?
No.
No?
No, I drove and I paid like $25 for parking.
It's not even that far from your house, right?
It was about a mile.
$25
Why would you drive?
Well, my girlfriend paid for parking, actually.
I guess. I don't know.
Cash. Can't take credit for that.
To give you guys an idea of how big Comic-Con is down here, half the things that happen in San Diego happen over those 3 days, I would say. There's just so many events. I was walking. I parked way in an obscure corner of downtown, and there was like the local radio station had their party going there. It was like in a pit with like no lights and shit, and they were just trying to have a party in basically what any other time of the year would be where the bums sleep.
And of course, I miss this weekend.
Yeah,
I'm out of town.
Where were you, Jeb?
I was in Yellowstone having a good time with the family. It was fun. I'll tell you about it a little bit later.
Well, before we get into the games that we're playing, I want to talk a little bit about something called AMD Gaming Evolved. A couple of weeks ago, I talked a bunch about the GeForce Experience, which is NVIDIA's software suite, all that cool stuff I was talking about where you can record gameplay, broadcast to Twitch. AMD Gaming Evolved is the same thing, does just about everything. Well, does everything that the GeForce one does. I found this because I finally updated the drivers on my girlfriend's computer. She's got an AMD APU, so it's not actually a graphics card. It's one of those half CPU, half graphics cards. They're great for a home theater PC. But finally updated it, and yeah, this thing does the same thing. It optimizes your games. It manages your driver updates. You broadcast straight to Twitch, and you can record gameplay with a DVR function as well. I haven't actually tested it out, so I can't attest to it, but from what I've heard from other people, it works just as well. The one thing that is different, though, is they have reward points, and you get reward points by optimizing your games, by playing your games, and participating in the AMD community. And you can spend these points on actual video cards. Like, you can get hardware. It's like 80,000 for a R9 270.
Spacebucks?
Yeah. They call them RP, which is kind of confusing with League of Legends, but reward points instead of riot points. But yeah, 80,000 for a 270.
And how long would 80,000 take you to earn?
A very long time, I think. I don't know. I've only made like 40 points, and that was from signing up and like optimizing some games. But you can also get cheaper ones. Like, you can buy 200 gems on Smite for 2,000. Or you can buy an Odin skin on Smite for 1,000. So there's smaller ones that That's you can really spend cool. them on. Yeah, games, hardware, and then in-game items like that. I think there's an Infinite Crisis skin. But just wanted to mention that because I haven't had AMD hardware for the longest time, and I really wanted to see what they got going on in their camp. I don't know. I don't think you guys follow hardware as much as I do, but...
I've been sleeping for less. What did you say? Yeah. Sorry.
Would this make you think about getting an AMD card over an NVIDIA card?
Well, the reason I'm still sticking with NVIDIA at this point is G-Sync. Now, AMD has talked about something called FreeSync, saying like, hey, all video cards, monitors are capable of this. It's something that's going to be built into DirectX 11. It's been a long time since I've researched this, so I'm not too sure, and I don't want to say something wrong. But AMD's basically saying this is like going to be common. You don't need like special hardware from NVIDIA. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, though. But I really want to try out G-Sync, and the only way that's going to happen is with an NVIDIA monitor. Plus, I've already paid for the NVIDIA 3D TV Play, which allows me to do 3D on my big screen TV. Mm-hmm. So I might as well stick that out for now.
Gotcha.
But it has, like, AMD and their video cards, they do have the fastest card on the market now. The 295 X2, I think. It's a beast. It comes water-cooled. It's like that. Wow. That crazy.
They don't fuck around anymore, huh?
Yeah. And NVIDIA's, like, Titan Z, or Titan Black, or whatever their $3,000 card is, the Radeon outperforms it. So it's not even worth the money, unfortunately.
Bobby, I saw a lot of cases from QuakeCon, because it's basically a giant LAN party that they throw every time they have at QuakeCon, you know. Mm-hmm. You're encouraged to bring your rig, which who knows how people, like, don't jack other people's shit. But anyway, because there's just a bunch of computers staying on tables and nobody's around them. But anyway, there, I guess, a big, I don't know if it's a resurgence, but a new wave of open computers are coming. So they're not enclosed. It's just like all your hardware is out. Hmm. You know, you only have that one wall that holds everything. And then,
yeah.
And it kind of makes sense in a way. Like, why, if you're trying to keep something cool, you're going to put it in a really hot little room?
Well, usually when you have a case, there's airflow and positive or negative or static air pressure. So the reason you have it enclosed is so you can actually get suction and move the air through it.
Right.
And yeah,
which is cooler than the ambient room temperature.
It's not about cool. It's about heat's coming out of it. So unless you move the heat out of the way, that heat just stacks up there.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why you talk about the
fans. You can still have fans blowing the heat out. Right.
But that's what he's talking about with enclosed in a case, suction.
Yeah, there's more directional airflow.
Well, I mean, there are, so, but people are doing this, and there must be a reason, yeah. right?
Well, a lot of times, good, they sell a lot of open cases like that, but typically they're for people who do a lot of benchmarking and a lot of testing of hardware.
Quick swap outs and shit.
Yeah, yeah. When I did computer repair, we had a few like that, where it was just a bare bones case, completely open, and we could swap out RAM or graphics cards just so easily without having to undo cases and work around in tight, small spaces. So for that kind of use, yeah, it'd be really helpful. But for a gaming rig, I wouldn't really.
Is there any
check
reason?
It out. Check it out, the ones from QuakeCon. There was like, and they look really good. Like they've done some pretty interesting stuff with them.
Is there any reason to get a case that's more than like $100? Like, as long as it's got the correct places to put everything. And like, I see some of these cases that are like $300 and $400, and they look cool, but there's just there's no reason to buy them other than the looks, right?
Yeah, it's mostly the looks. Some of them have like different compartments for components to get. To sit in, but yeah, you probably don't need to spend a whole lot on your case. You can get a really good one for like $50 to $100. Antec has like a great line of cases.
And as long as you got USB, you know, 3.0 and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, USB 3.0. Usually you want like a front intake, a top exhaust, a rear exhaust, and maybe a side intake. That's always preferable.
You're kind of turning me on. Keep going.
Yeah.
But that's like your standard airflow in a case, and most of them have that. But some people, like for a while, I had like 8 hard drives in my computer, so I needed to look for a case that could handle that.
Only Bobby would have 8 in his.
He was all about archiving everything that ever came out ever on TV.
Well, before like YouTube.
Completely legal, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely. before YouTube came out and all these streaming music services, I used to hold on. I used to archive a lot of stuff, but now there's really no point. You know, it's all out there.
I kind of feel that all that shit's going to go away.
Streaming?
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be, I don't know. It seems like the wild, wild west of the internet right now, and it's all going to get shut down pretty soon. Either through the ISPs or by...
Oh, my God. No way, man. People would riot in the streets if they took away, like, Netflix or something.
Yeah. Well, Netflix you have to pay for, which is fine.
Yeah.
But...
You're talking about, like, illegal streaming sites. Like
sure, illegal streaming.
Like TVPC.com.
And all the torrent sites are probably going to be gone.
The torrent sites? I don't know.
We'll see.
People will find a way. Anyway, let's see. What have we been playing this week? What have you guys been playing this week?
You know what? You got a lot on your list, so you start one, and then we'll get into ours, because we both played the same one.
All right. I started playing Call of Duty Ghosts, finally. Back last December, last day of the Steam winter sale, I bought Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty Ghosts, and some other really expensive game that I was like, Batman. I'll definitely play this. Never got around to playing them. Finally... I don't know. I'm not too far into it, so I can't say if I like it or not. You know, I like these AAA titles. As much as I like a lot of the indie stuff, and I kind of criticize AAA titles, I actually do enjoy them. This one takes place in America in like the near future, where America is actually on the defensive. They are being attacked by some force called the Federation, which is like Brazil, Mexico, that area, South American. And
the brown people.
Yes. To put it bluntly. So they've made a federation and now they're trying to take over America. And I don't know. The story's a little on the cheesy side. What's cool, though, is the first couple levels take place in San Diego. And you actually have to fight through the stadium, which is Petco Park, but they call it something else, and instead of the San Diego Padres, it's the San Diego Tsunamis. But I took a
screen... Dude, how far do you live from this? Like,
I know. I can see that.
Blocks?
No,
blocks?
I took a screenshot of one of the levels where the stadium's kind of crumbled, and you can see the Coronado Bridge out in the distance. So I was like, I can see that from my balcony. But that screenshot's in my library if you check that out. But it was really cool. I like that. But as far as the rest of the game goes, it's a little on the cheesy side. I did like Black Ops 2 a lot, and I even liked the story in that as well. But
that's the epitome of the Call of Duty whole franchise, right? Black Ops 2, wasn't it?
Black Ops 2?
Modern Warfare 4, I mean, is a really popular one.
I've only played, other than, like, the first and second Call of Duty, which I played a little bit here and there, the only ones that I've actually played all the way through was Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, and Black Ops 2. And then now this one I'm playing through. So my experience with them is somewhat limited.
So have you played multiplayer at all on this, or is it just
single player? No, I'm playing strictly single player at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you planning to try out the multiplayer part of it?
Oh, yeah, I definitely will at some point. With the multiplayer on this, I think there's like a leveling up and unlocks and stuff like that. And, you know, I might play, like with Black Ops 2, I played a little bit of it, and then after a while I got kind of bored of it. And if I'm really going to grind, like just try to unlock stuff, I'm going to do that in Battlefield 4, because that's the one I'm more invested in.
I mean, as a single player experience, I think Black Ops 2 is held up pretty highly. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good, too. Not that they're crazy good single-player games.
Well, I liked how they bounced around the timeline. They went through different areas, and you got to play, like, really different levels. Like, there's one where you're riding a horse, shooting a rifle. Like, that was cool in Black Ops 2. And then next thing you know, you're in some, like, jungle or something. It's a different year, a different time period. I thought that was cool. This one, not so much that.
What's the Ghosts about? Why is it called Ghosts?
They're like this super squad of military guys who survived some crazy attack against, you know, an insurmountable amount of enemies. And so now they have like their Ghost Club. And if you're cool enough, you get into the Ghost Club. And the story revolves around you play this one guy and your dad tells you the story of the ghost and you don't believe it. But then turns out your dad is one of the ghosts. And then you get into the Ghost Club. And then
that does sound cheesy. You're right.
Yeah. And the way they did it was just
so cheesy.
Is this
the one that starts in space?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've seen some of this.
Liked. I'll give them that. And like, all right, cool. You took it to space. That's awesome. Another thing I should mention, too, they made a big deal about the dog in this before the game came out and they were promoting it.
Yeah, and with all the dog graphics and shit that they were showing.
Yeah, and you get to remotely control the dog. It's like a German Shepherd, and he's got all this tactical gear on, and you can remotely control him and see like what he sees through this camera attached to his little like army vest. And you can sneak through the grass and take out enemies and kind of use him as a pet, like the hunter would in World of Warcraft. You can tell your pet to attack people.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's interesting. It's something different, something new. But really, I've only, like, knocked off maybe a third of this game. I'm not too far into it.
On a side note, the SEAL teams, the dogs that they use Kevlar mouth guards or whatever. It's like Kevlar that's laced over their regular teeth so that they can tear through, like, body armor more effectively without hurting their teeth.
Hmm.
Think about how scary that is, dude.
Yeah.
You got a German Shepherd running at you and it's got Kevlar fucking teeth.
I'm running.
Yeah. And you're going to get caught, too. That's the worst part. You can't outrun him.
Maybe that's what this dog has, because I was pretty surprised at how easily he takes guys down. I'm just like, I don't know. I saw Cujo, but I don't see a dog taking out, like, all these militants. I tried to send him out a tank, but he wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
that shit went down.
Jerk.
Go get him, boy.
If I were to buy this game, how much would you say yes? What would you put the price at for this?
I bought it around $35, I think, when it was on sale.
Steve.
But the thing,
for Bobby.
Yeah,
it is.
But the thing about Call of Duty games, they never go on sale for that much. Mm-hmm. I think the lowest I ever saw Black Ops 2 was like $30, $25, something like that.
So if I want to play this, I'm going to have to be paying for it.
Yeah, or Steam sharing, family sharing library or something.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So way on the opposite scale of that, I started playing Unturned, which I've been hearing a lot about. It looks like they're promoting a lot on Steam. And it's another crafting survival game. You know, the exact same stuff we've seen like a million times before already this year.
You felt like you hadn't done enough trees, so you wanted to chop some more down?
Yeah, exactly. Although there is some tree chopping in this. But the interesting thing about this game is it's made by a 16-year-old kid, solo project. Kid's doing it all by himself, apparently.
Hmm.
It looks like Minecraft. It's got Minecraft graphics. And, you know, maybe a couple weeks or months back, I had said, you know, why can't we just get one of these games that just works, you know, that just has everything already figured out and doesn't have bugs and glitches. And this one, although I only played about 3 hours of it, it seems like that. It seems like it has all its stuff together and it works fairly well. And it is kind of fun. I loaded up a server, had a few people join. You can get in vehicles and drive around and just run over zombies, which seems to be the most effective way of taking them out. Find guns and ammo. There's crafting. You can build things. You can put on different outfits. I mean, it's everything that we've seen before. There is character progression, too, like in Nether, where you could level yourself up, mm-hmm. and then you die and you lose all those perks.
Oh, okay.
So you can level up that stuff. You've got to feed yourself. You know, there's hunger and thirst.
So is the main goal just staying alive?
Yeah, exactly. Survival.
Yeah. And it's free to play, isn't it?
Free to play, yes.
You said this is Minecraft graphics? Like 16-bit looking things?
Yeah, like little
really
Lego
big
dudes.
Blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's
reminds me of Roblox. I never played that.
Yeah, I'm totally down. Let's play some.
Yeah.
Especially since it's free to play.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it anyway, so yeah. And now you're saying that it was fun, so yeah, I want to check that out.
Yeah, it's actually, out of all those games, I like this one more than a lot of them.
Cool.
It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing new, but it is.
It's done well.
Yeah, it's done well, and I do like it.
And good for him.
That is a
fuck
new
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
that's the new part about this game. It's done well.
Yeah,
I mean, Rust wasn't that buggy. I mean,
this is on Steam, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's on Steam for free.
Cool.
And it's like 200 megs or something ridiculously low. It's like a very small game.
How's he making money, or is this just kind of like his?
I don't know.
Project.
I have no idea.
Maybe this is like his science project for this year or whatever. Yeah. It just happens to be.
Yeah. And I did finish Lucius. I talked a lot about that last week. Finally finished that game. Didn't have much more to go. And I ran into a few more bugs. And that's just like the worst thing that could happen in a game like that. Like one of those puzzle games. Because I was playing it with some friends. We got to a part where there didn't seem to be any options. There didn't seem to be anywhere to go.
Wait. It's multiplayer?
No, I just had some friends over and
gotcha.
I was playing it, and they wanted to Google it and see like what to do next. I didn't want to spoil it, so I said, okay, Google it. Let me know if I ran into a bug or if I'm just not finding what I'm supposed to. And sure enough, it was a bug. Like, happened two or three times throughout the entire course of this game, and it's really bad when that happens. But other than that, not a bad game, probably worth like $5. Just kind of a weird, twisted puzzle game.
And the ending had like, it was a worthwhile ending? Like, you were happy you got through it?
Yeah, it's not any surprise, but it was exactly what I expected. And yeah, it was pretty good. You know, okay. It was a great little Halloween game.
Okay.
Something to play when you get the lights turned off or something.
Cool.
Well,
Chad and I played the same shit, and I'm sure a lot of you guys played too. If you're not playing Hearthstone, I can't say, go play it. You're going to love it. Because it is a trading card game, and it's even though it's done super well, if you don't like trading card games, if you don't like chess, you're probably not going to like this. Or if you don't like, I don't know, what do you equate trading card games to? One-on-one strategy. There's not a whole lot of graphics, honestly.
It's almost a tabletop game, you know, like where you've got your pieces and you're moving them around and you're trying to be strategic about it.
Yeah.
I guess. But CCGs are just CCGs, I don't know.
Yeah. I've said it before. It's all about the metagame for me, putting the deck together. Fucking love it. Putting the deck together. Oh, I have a theory. Let me try this theory out. Oh, it kind of works, but let me tweak it.
Today.
Yeah.
And
you had to. Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
So Curse of Naxxramas came out, and I'm a little underwhelmed on how much content there was because it's only the first of five wings.
Five wings, yeah.
And I really, really feel like they should have put all the wings out at once, and this is why. Because I finished it in about 2 hours, right? And I was hungry for more. I wanted more. Now I got to wait till next week. I can easily make 700 gold by next week. I'm not going to spend $1 on Curse of Naxxramas. So it would have been better for them if the whole thing was available. I probably would have bought a couple wings.
Yeah.
Like, I have 700 right now, and I'll make another 700 by that time. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. A lot of people have been complaining on the forums and stuff about the length of the wing.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled.
I said it was free.
Yeah, it was free. I struggled on that last boss in Heroic.
I would say I went 5 or 6 revisions.
What is her name? Myxna?
I'm not even try, man.
I probably played 4 or 5 hours on just her.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so.
You should have just texted me, man. I would have told you what to do.
Well, I didn't look up. I didn't want to Google it. I didn't want.
Yeah, I didn't want to either. Right.
That was the fun. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do it.
I knew if I looked it up, I would find something, but I didn't want.
So are you just playing against the computer, kind of like?
So you go through the first. So it's three bosses.
Yep, there's three bosses.
Three bosses.
It, pretty much, there's just three bosses, and that's it. So
but they've got like the bosses have, like, with their new cards, and they all have, like, hero abilities that are kind of really strong. So you go through them, but they all have 30 health, and you go through and you beat them all. And then after you beat them, you can go through them a second time in heroic.
And they warn you that it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. But then they up the health.
Oh, my God. I spent all day playing that, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
I up the health. They up the health to 45, and then they make their heroic powers really strong.
Yeah.
So the last guy, his hero ability goes off at the start of his turn, no cost, and it takes two of your characters back into your hand. So if
which
you,
is a downside for him if you make
well,
it work.
You right? got to make it yeah. work for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool. I started off trying some of my standard decks and was getting my ass kicked.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I switched to I tried to do a druid spell deck, got my ass kicked. Then
for
I did
direct damage.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Then I tried to do a mage direct damage one and got my ass kicked. Then I went to a warrior kind of direct damage, got my ass kicked. But the,
oh,
the,
with weapons?
Yeah, with weapons. Yeah. Then I tried a rogue kind of miracle deck and got my ass kicked. But what I was doing was I was trying to get their board, put the seven characters on his board that were only doing 7 points of damage to me each turn, and
they're
trying to survive.
Up the wrong tree,
yeah.
man.
And that didn't work. And yeah. finally, I got a mage deck that
mage
just
deck, yeah.
that just wiped.
That's how I did it too.
Board wiped him.
And yeah, you got to board wipe him and things that are beneficial when they come into play.
Maybe we should say spoilers if you want to try this out.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we're late for that. Now.
Yeah.
Do you have to? Can you play a different class for each boss, or do you have to?
You have to
choose one.
Yeah. Well, you don't have.
No, each one's an individual one. You can choose the boss you want to fight and choose the deck you want to play with.
Yeah, and. They all have a trick you gotta, and you can identify the tricks right away of what you need to do.
Yeah.
And so, dude, I just did Argent Commanders, which come in and they have charge and they have that shield so they don't die.
Mm-hmm.
And just boom, boom, boom. Like every turn, I was doing 6 damage to either him or taking out one of his creatures.
Yeah.
And that in board wipes. So Argent Commanders, board wipes, Pyro, Blast. I think the first time that I built that mage deck, I beat him. But I had tried like the rogue and the warrior thing first.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It sounds like a single-player version of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Is that really what they're going for here?
Well, that's what it is. Yeah,
that's what it
is. That's exactly what it is. Remember when you started playing Hearthstone and you had to play each class like against? You needed to beat the warrior. You needed to beat the rogue. It's like that. But except for it's like new classes. But you don't... We'll never get to play those classes. They've just made them for this thing. And there are 3 different kinds of spiders, basically.
So what exactly are the rewards for doing this?
Each boss gives you a set of cards.
Yeah. There's not many new cards. There's 30 new cards total.
Yeah.
And it's not a whole lot. But when you finish this whole first thing, what do you get? Like 8 cards? Maybe
something
10
like that.
Cards?
No,
you, no.
You get
total?
You get a legendary, right? You get Max.
Yeah.
Nah.
Which, who wasn't bad?
Yeah.
Not a terrible card, but
no,
great.
He's good.
Yeah. And then, but what I think was I was a little upset with was it's so hard to beat this heroic mode. And I didn't think I got anything because it doesn't tell you, but you get a card back.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but it doesn't tell you.
Oh.
Yeah, I read that later.
Well, the thing is, since there's only 3 guys, if you luck out and you get a good draw and you happen to beat, like, say, my Exna, if you beat that guy and you shouldn't have beaten it with the deck, but you just happened to get the right draw and beat it,
right.
Then like there's no challenge to you. You don't think it was hard. Like I'm seeing all these people that beat it on the forums in an hour. If they just happened to pick the deck.
On heroic?
Yeah, on heroic. And
yeah, I mean, I beat it in 2. It wasn't...
Yeah.
You unfortunately, what happened with you is you were barking up the wrong tree. What you thought was... And you probably did that for like 2 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Was there any point in replaying?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I got my cards, and now you're seeing those cards. Those cards seem a little bit overpowered. They're just a little bit better than the regular cards, which is tricky because now, you know, everybody needs those cards, so they're going to... Just like in Magic, everything gradually gets a little bit better, and all the old shit, it kind of fades out. So the value of the old shit isn't as powerful as it used to be. Everything gradually gets better.
I don't know. So, I think they did a pretty good job balancing it. For example, like one of their cards, it's a 2-drop for a 1/2 that at the end of your turn spawns another 1/2. So you get two 1/2s.
The ooze. Yeah,
the ooze. they're not really the 2-3 charge one for one. That one's too strong.
I think the 0-2 is pretty strong. The 0-2 that spawns a 4-4 is really strong.
Well, you gotta work around.
Have you guys actually played against people who have been using these cards yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're seeing them out.
I haven't played in players.
They're in every deck now.
Oh, really?
Like that 0-2 is in every deck almost. Like people are playing it a lot.
That one card where you can,
with the mage, you can shoot it yourself.
The one card that says kill and regenerate your creature, that one's going to be really strong.
Good. Yeah, there's a lot of cool new mechanics. Hearthstone needed this because there wasn't a huge amount of cards.
It had gotten stagnant and stale.
All these new cards are really sweet. But the only way to get these cards, you can't get them through packs. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the only way to get them is to go through the entire thing of Naxxramas, but now you got to wait till next week. That's what I said. If it would have re-released all at once, they would have made a lot more hard cash.
I agree.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a while. But, you know, it's probably my first or second most played game permanently. It's one of those things that I have. One of my decompression games where I don't have to think much.
It's really nice to be able to play a 10-minute game, you know. Even like a MOBA is, you know, 30 minutes, whereas this game you can just play.
See, Binding of Isaac used to be that for me, but now I've gotten to the point where every run is like a half-hour run now.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you got to the skill level where even on a shitty run, you do well.
Yep. So what else have we been playing?
Well, I recently got back into Smite. People were asking me why I got back into that, and I should probably explain that. I watched the TI4 quite a bit. The Dota 2 tournament followed that pretty closely. Actually, on the grand finale, the final match between Vici and Newbie, they were doing a showing down at Balboa Park, not too far from where I live, and they're showing it on like a big screen.
Oh, cool.
Probably about 75 people showed up. It's pretty cool. Watch the matches in a big screen in kind of a theater.
When was this?
Last Monday.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And I was kind of hoping for Evil Geniuses. They're kind of the North American team.
Who's on that? Anybody I know?
Well, Arteezy's kind of the top-rated player, I think, in Dota. He was at the top of the boards for the longest time. I don't know where he currently is. And that was the whole reason I kind of got back into Smite, because I watched all this competitive play of MOBAs, and I was like, I got really into it and wanted a competitive game to play, so I tested everything out. I played a round or two of Dota, I played some CSGO, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go back to Smite. I think that's... I've already established, you know, familiarity with that game. A baseline
of skill, too.
Yeah, yeah, because you have to play so much of these games to get competitive. So I ended up going back to Smite. Watching the tournament was great. Even though I'm not really a fan of playing Dota, watching it was really awesome.
So you say the grand finales was cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It because of the environment that you were in? You know, when people are cheering and shit, that's...
Yeah, yeah. Being around other people who are fans was great. I felt like the commentators did a great job, too. Like, everything about it just seemed really professional.
How'd you find out about where it was being played?
They had it posted on the Dota site. They listed all these places and all these different states where they were showing it, and turns out one of them was, you know, less than a mile from my place.
Yeah,
so
remember I said that I got that email from Blizzard about the StarCraft finals and where they were going to be played, like what bars, Beercraft they called it or something like that. That was pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
And this is bigger. I mean, Dota 2 is way bigger, right, than StarCraft these days.
Well, at least in the states. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as far as spectating is concerned, top-down MOBAs might be the best thing to spectate, because it has the view that you play in. A lot of times they back it out a little bit, but it's basically the view you play in, so it's very familiar to you. But it's far enough back that you can see all the action. So it's like actually watching a sport, you know?
Well, when they do Smite, they don't do the first person point.
But still, they're jumping around, and they can move the camera in 360 degrees, which I don't like. I like the camera to stay static so you can follow, you can keep in your head where the action's going at.
It's really interesting where a game that I don't play, like Dota 2, I can keep track of the action as a viewer better than I can in Smite. Smite, so much shit's going on at once. I don't know why it seems like it's harder to keep track of what's going on in Smite. Even though it's top down. Right?
It's the camera, because since the camera isn't always facing north, you lose track of where you are on the map.
Well, also, they shouldn't do it in real time. They should do it with like a minute delay so they can find the ideal thing and show you the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be quite, the stream at least should be delayed.
Well, yeah. I think they've just had a lot of practice with Dota 2. I mean, it's just gotten better and better. And this
too, yeah.
really was. Like, they spent a little bit of time going back and taking a tour of all the equipment and the people who were running that stuff, like, just running the stats and also, like, the person controlling the camera. And it's a pretty involved process. It seems like they've refined it very well. Yeah, I don't know. You don't see a whole lot of professional Smite going on. They don't have a really big competitive scene quite yet.
Well, each tournament is getting bigger, which is a good sign.
Yeah,
but I'm sure they'll eventually. So are the top dogs too. So nobody's on the decline. This is where the way things are going right now.
Yeah.
But what I said before, at least for Smite, when you know in the grand finales there was a pentakill, that shit was exciting as fuck. Mm. Like, oh, that's three, that's four, bam, dunk out. Like, the guy went, like, a little over the top, but it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
At that level for somebody to get a penta.
Yeah. What I noticed when I was watching a lot of these, I couldn't really tell much of what was going on because I don't play a whole lot of Dota, but I could follow fairly well. I noticed that the teams that seemed to do really well, they worked really good as a team, and that sounds like obvious, but you had teams where, like Evil Geniuses with Arteezy, who's probably the best mid in Dota 2, but they couldn't pull through. And there were other teams that just had these all-star players, but they couldn't carry the team. And then I felt like Newbie and Vici both, like, they didn't have, like, super good, like, well-known players. I mean, they had veterans. These people have been to, like, almost every Dota tournament the last 4 years, but they just were just playing so well as a team. And you know, watching that kind of makes you a better player. Even when I play Smite, I kind of keep that in mind, and going into it with this like competitive mindset has actually helped me a lot. And I've been winning like the majority of games in
Smite. Except for the ones I play drunk.
Yeah,
I dragged him through the mud a couple of nights ago.
I've been there, Bobby. I know the feeling. Yeah.
Well, it's also kind of changed my attitude towards it too, because a lot of people want to play with me, and then, you know, we'll get on Skype and be playing, and then they want to like talk about their day. I'm like, dude, we got a game going on here. You know, like, I'm taking it a lot more seriously, and if you want to win, that's what you have to do.
It's funny, like, one of the I think I quit Smite for a little while, and it was because I said this before, but the lowers were lower than the highs were high. And you invest this amount of time. I don't know why so much emotion goes into these games more than they do Counter-Strike or TF2. TF2, I could die and be like, I got, you know, oh, something went wrong or whatever. I guess maybe it has something to do with the investment of time, but also you're letting your teammates down.
Yeah.
And that's fucking really big. In a way, you are in TF2, but nobody didn't even notice. Everybody's expected to die.
Yeah.
In these games, you're not expected to die. You're expected to kill.
That's true. The one thing that still bothers me about Smite and Dota and the other games do much better is during the picking stage. The one I've probably brought this up before, but Smite has such a standard layout to the way it goes that I just the picking stage is not fun. But if you watch tournaments like Dota or Heroes of New Earth back in the day, like, the picking stage was the most exciting part for me, and I just wish, the meta of Smite would be able to be more fluid.
It's a little more diverse now, which is like good, because you don't know quite what they're gonna do, but it's not as, I mean, maybe that comes from lack of heroes, you know.
The fact that you can't just do like a dual jungle or like a tri lane or
did you see,
like,
any of that, Bobby, in the Dota 2? Was there any like not standard 2-1-1-1?
They do 2-1-2 or
They switched around with the lanes a little bit, or had a jungle. What I did notice was that the teams that went for real high risk, like, they got a lineup of characters that, you know, had maybe a big payoff mid or late game, but that means they would have to play a perfect laning phase, and or maybe they tried to rush the Roshan at level one. You know, those type of risks rarely paid off and almost always just cost the game right away. Yeah. Cloud9 did that in one of their games where they tried to rush the Roshan and someone was scouting, found them, rushed him while they're halfway through, and just wiped him, and it was just GG from there. You know, it was like there's no point in playing the rest of the game. And that's another lesson that I learned from this as well, and I took to Smite, is don't take high risk. You know, I was playing a match of Siege with some randos, and the dude said, let's invade. And I'm like, fucking no way, dude. That's a bad idea.
Because even if you win, you're still losing your jungle caps.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you win.
The time wasted. The idea in these MOBA games is to make every second count. You've got to be farming XP constantly. So how you decide to spend your time, you can't just go wandering around, la-di-da, you know.
See, Bobby, I know any of this, man. Now I'm going to take my shit more seriously when I'm playing with you.
Well, there we go, dude.
Don't have that 12th beer. See? You're learning.
But, you know, sure enough, we kind of argued a little bit back and forth, which I try to never do. But I said, fine, all right. Because, you know, even worse than making a bad call, the invade in Siege.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Even worse than, like, making a bad call is dividing the team and splitting it up.
So even if you're wrong, go with the team.
Yeah.
Even if you think they're wrong, go with the team.
Yeah. So I went with them, and sure enough, like, one or two of our guys got killed. We didn't kill any of them. We wasted probably about 2 minutes, missed like a wave or two of minions.
Did you lose the game?
Yeah, we lost.
Yeah.
So,
you were right, they were wrong.
Yeah, so high risk rarely paid off.
Grumble.
You know, the best teams just play a solid game and they wait for the other team to make just a little mistake, a little overextension, and they capitalize on it. That's what it comes down to. So, yeah.
I think that's most of what the pro skill is. Know when to take the risks and when to play safe. Yeah.
Like you watch Drybear play, and as soon as somebody turns around and starts running, he turns around and goes the other way. It's like, why chase even a little bit?
Yeah.
He knows. I mean, you can't. If he can do it, he'll do it. Yeah. But if he can't, he knows right away.
Yeah, make that split-second decision.
Well, it's like he says, you know, like getting him to go home is almost as good as killing him.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it is all about farming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Especially in Assault. You know, in Assault in Smite, you can't go back to the base. If you wound someone, if you get them down to a sliver of health, that's almost better because now they're playing way back. They're doing nothing. You got complete lane control.
I think Assault might be my favorite.
That's probably my least favorite, other than Conquest. I'm really enjoying Siege mode because it gives me the same satisfaction that Conquest does, but there's no jungle. There's just four people, two in each lane, and it's just, it reminds me of when Smite first came out and there really wasn't a jungle.
And I've said this all the time, like, I win Siege all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Siege seems to be easy, but that's silly because you're beating other people, but I don't know, Siege just seems to work.
Yeah. I think it's because a lot of people don't know you can port directly to the Siege unit.
I can't believe that our teammates didn't know that the other day.
Yeah, but the jungle is such a wild card, it can go either way on you, and that's, I haven't played enough Conquest, especially recently, to really get that down, but yeah, I'm definitely enjoying Smite, and I'll continue to be playing more of that, too, so.
But you tried Dota recently, and you just, it wasn't...
You know what, I enjoyed it a lot more than when we first played it, but I played a lot of top-down MOBAs since then, so I've gotten way more familiar with that genre, but I didn't like it as much as League still.
It's a slower game than a lot of the other moves.
And I think, I don't know about Dota, but I know in League you have to have a rune page and a mastery page, and there's some leveling up that's involved, like, on your actual account. And that seems kind of stupid to me, because then you have higher level people who have a significant advantage over you. I mean, maybe you don't get queued with them, but League, it's kind of like everybody comes in the same, and everybody has an equal opportunity. So I think that's a better competitive game, but I don't know. I could be wrong there. Maybe there's something else to Dota that I'm not seeing.
Yeah, I haven't played enough to know either.
And just in general, you don't play any MOBAs, you don't play top-down anything. Just the fact that Dota 2 players got paid more per player, the winners got more money per player than any other sport, more than football, more than anything, for that championship. Mm-hmm. Like, I was reading, like, how much winning the World Cup gets per player. And, you know, it's not that much. All these things. The Super Bowl. Everything. Nothing. And it's growing. And kind of, like, you know, if you're a PC gamer, support your guys. And not money-wise or anything. One more view is one more view. Just go check it out. See if you like it. You might find that you're just a spectator. And you're not going to play. you know, there's some stuff I watch a lot of Hearthstone, just, you know, just watching people play, you know, and it's picking up pointers, but also like crazy shit happens, you know?
Yeah. It's like watching TV. Like sometimes you just want to sit and watch, you know, not think. And that's what the streaming's all about.
For sure.
So I was in Yellowstone this week, right? So I was in Yellowstone. I was up in Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Utah, all in that area. So I'm in Yellowstone.
Wait, I've never really understood. So does Yellowstone, is it in the corner of all those states?
So Yellowstone is mostly in Wyoming, a little bit in Montana, and maybe a little, no, just Montana and Wyoming.
Okay.
But I flew into Salt Lake City, and we drove up Utah into Idaho and up into Wyoming. But so I'm in there. And Yellowstone, I don't know if you know this, is known...
For our foreign listeners, everything he's naming is bigger than your country.
That's not true. Although Yellowstone is big. I think I was looking up statistics, and I think I could be wrong, but I thought I read somewhere where it's like the same size as Portugal, basically.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah, it's
man.
It's big.
Yeah.
I
learned today that California has more people than Canada.
Well, that I believe.
Yeah.
So I'm in this. So Yellowstone's known for its geysers, right? It's got more natural geysers than anywhere else in the world is right there in Yellowstone. So we drive into this place because it's got this huge, like, figure eight loop where you can drive. And it would basically take you all day to drive this thing, right?
I see where you're going with this now.
So we go into this, and these geysers, we hit these geysers, and I swear to God, I think I'm in Desolos in WoW. Yeah. Like, I thought that place was like made up, just like kind of a thing. They must have driven by.
Envisioned. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like
source material is what you're driving through. Source material.
It was the oddest feeling, the oddest sensation, because you know, like these are games that I played years ago, and I'm looking at them now. Of course, you can't see Desolus like this anymore because after
Cataclysm,
it's all changed. But the original Desolus, it was like half forest, and then it was like this half kind of sandy kind of dunes sort of looking things, and that's basically what
it's
these kind
of
guys
like
are.
Bobby playing through something that he could see out of his window, or what was the game that I brought up the other day that they mapped the United States and you're going to be driving through?
Oh yeah, like, you tell me the name of it.
It was like the new Need for Speed or something like that. And then also my buddy who doesn't play games much, he was playing like Call of Duty 4 or something like that, and his wife is Brazilian, like really Brazilian, and she goes, she looks at the TV and she's like, oh, that's some Brazilian town. She goes, that's my town. And he's like, what? And then he looked at the mission name and it was like mission of that place that she had named. Like she had not watching the game at all, just in passing, knew enough to see, oh, that's my town.
Yeah.
How crazy, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I see Desolus. I basically drive through Desolus.
Yeah.
But and then we're driving out through Wyoming on the way down, and it is a spitting image of hills bred. Back in the day, you know, kind of the big rolling hills.
Oh yeah.
With the kind of
did
village.
Did your parents ask you why you were crying? With
like
nostalgia.
It's just it was insane to me. Like I thought I knew what countryside looked like in California, but going out there, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's all I had on that.
Damn.
Cool. Speaking of MMOs, recently, I guess through data mining, they figured out how much these MMOs are making these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not what it used to be. But, I mean, World of Warcraft has 36% of the market and is pulling in $1 billion a year. Like, that's still a ton of fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys want to guess on the other ones? Like, what the list is and how they go?
There's got to be Final Fantasy?
Not even on top 10.
Wow. What else?
Remember Asian markets, too.
I know. Lineage 2?
Number 2. Oh, no, Lineage 1 still.
Oh, Lineage 1.
I don't think people even jumped over.
Okay.
Terra? I don't even know what that is. So you guys
Terra from back in the day.
Yeah.
So, 4 you guys will both know.
What other?
And 5.
What other MMOs is there? What was the one that Pete plays?
No, that's not
Secret World.
No. Okay.
You guys,
I don't.
Maybe I should tell you guys about these contests because you guys suck.
I'm trying to think of MMOs. What MMOs are out there?
You just recently started playing one, Jackass.
Eve.
Number six.
Eve. Okay, that makes sense.
All right, I'll just tell you the rest. Yeah, four is Star Wars. Not
Galaxies or Knights of the Galaxies Old Republic. Yeah, Galaxies is gone.
Yeah. And it's funny, they're number four, and they're pulling in $175 million a year. And I had always thought that they were failing, or when they made the switch right away to free-to-play, you know, within the first year, like, oh, geez, this is a fucking disaster, you know? But no, they're fucking, you know, fourth in the world for MMOs, $175 million a year at something that, you know.
Is that profit or revenue?
That's revenue.
Okay.
But still, you know, that you're not putting that much more. But the thing is about Star Wars, you don't hear about, I've never read one thing about a new expansion coming out for it. Do they not have expansions?
I don't know.
Weird, right?
Yeah, that is weird.
And then also, I wonder if, now that Disney owns Star Wars, if maybe
wait, that was number four?
That was number four.
So Eve is making less than that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not much more, or less.
Eve has a smaller user base.
Yeah. Like I signed in the other day and there was 30,000 people playing. It's not that much. If there's only one server. That's really low, actually. Lord of the Rings Online is number five. Who fucking knew? That's a free-to-play game. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aeon is still relevant, apparently. Blade and Soul, never heard of it. Lineage 2 is number 8. Or number 9. And Rift is number 10.
Rift is still number... Wow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I like that game for the month that I played. Or 2 weeks that I played it.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it just seemed like WoW 2 or whatever.
That's what I felt about, what was that, Terra? I felt that same way.
I never played that one.
Kind of like WoW Lite or whatever.
I guess we're in the news section completely now, so I'll jump right into what happened with Modern Combat 5. They had a contest of some sort, and some people won it, like 10 people won the contest, so they got early copies. Yeah, one of the guys cracked it and put it on the internet, so like before they even release it to... the general population, it's already all over the internet. You can go get it right now, but don't do it because it's bad.
Wow.
So what do you guys know about the Shield? I didn't really care about this thing until I started reading about
this
it.
This is the NVIDIA handheld, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I know.
You guys know it? Okay.
I know a little bit about it.
So it's coming out July 29th, which is what? A couple days from now.
Wait, isn't it already out?
Well, July 29th is what?
No, didn't it come out a long time ago? NVIDIA Shield, the handheld device that lets you stream games from your computer to it, and you can play some some games on the device locally.
Yes, but I think that was just a like prototype that you're talking about. I don't know.
They had a deal like 6 months ago where if you bought a video card, you got $100 off it. It's been on Newegg for a while for like $200 or $300.
Maybe this is another version or something.
Yeah, probably.
So I still didn't really care until I read all the shit you could do on it. It's quite a bit. So it's $300 for a 16 gigabyte, but it has a micro SD slot that you could put into it, and that can raise it up to like, I don't know, like 200 gigs or something like that.
Hmm.
What's weird about it is the controllers aren't on the unit itself. It's more like a tablet, and then you have to buy the controller separate. And you play it, you know, you put the screen over there and you play it over here or whatever. This all sounds bad so far, but the display is 1920 by 1200. So it's really, really clear. It has got dual 5 megabit cameras, front and back. It's got a microphone so that you, can use that way. It's got Shadow Play built in. You can stream straight from wherever you are, right onto Twitch. It's running Android operating system, and it basically has everything you could possibly want, except for, you know, Windows, I guess. But it seems pretty cool to me. You could access Steam and all that stuff to do there, too. Oh, and, like, Netflix and all that stuff as well.
Huh.
It's interesting, because it's almost like getting to the point where... it's like in anything that you see about the future. It's just like a tablet and that's it. You know, you're just like you're working on the tablet. I don't know if it's going to be popular or whatever.
Well, what's the price right now?
So it was 300 for the 16-bit and 400 for the 32-bit. And you kind of have to go with the 32-bit.
You mean gigs,
yeah, right? Gigabytes, because that one has the LTE. The other one you need to have Wi-Fi for. So a couple more things, and we can open the goddamn doors because I'm sweating here. Goddamn, it gets hot in here. All right. It's because all these action. They're all fired up. Yeah. The passion.
Yes.
The passion is just firing us up. And not about games, my friends. Peggle, yeah. New Peggle coming out. And it's going to launch soon.
God, you are so obsessed with Peggle for the longest time.
Oh, and here's the thing. One time I did this thing, and this is my big fish story. I beat the top score in the world. I beat the best one on YouTube. But I didn't have any recording software or anything going. So there it goes. Like, what the fuck? There's no way to...
So all you have is that amazing sword.
Like, it happened. So you got to trust me on it. Pacific Rim. Oh, I already talked about that one. And finally...
No, you didn't even talk about Peggle. Oh, the new one's coming out?
Yeah. And it's coming out soon. Like, they didn't say, hey, 6 months from now. It's coming out, like, this month or next month. Hmm. So that's good. That's already bought. It's sitting there in the warehouse. Doesn't even know it's bought. It's already bought.
Sorry, you got your name on it, huh?
And then Google bought Twitch for $1 billion. They had already said that they were going to. Announced it when they said they were going to, but $1
billion. $1 billion. Dude, I'm hearing the term $1 billion a lot lately.
One, two, three, $4 billion. That's what things are going for these days. Like,
yeah,
popular stuff.
It's not even a big deal to be a millionaire anymore these days. You got to be a billionaire.
No, billionaires are the new millionaires.
Yeah.
Like when we were kids, you heard somebody was a millionaire. That's not...
How about thousandaire? Because that's what I'm at right now.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Better than a hundredaire where I'm at.
It's some stuff to look forward to. And a quick note on MMOs. I watched one of the documentaries that I posted in the discussion thread on our Steam group, Second Skin. It was made in 2007, 2008, right when Burning Crusade came out. Man, it was a trip watching that. It talks about MMOs mostly a lot on... What was the one you guys played a lot? The Guild? Not the
EverQuest?
Guild. EverQuest. Yeah. A lot on EverQuest 2 and a lot on World of Warcraft. Covers like the good and the bad. You know, people who have met, fell in love, started like a family, you know, because of the game. And then people who have just like totally thrown away their lives and had to go to rehab because of the game. Yeah. Just like the... both sides of the coin.
There's that famous story. Did they talk on that story where the parents let their baby die because they kept playing?
Oh, that was in Korea, wasn't it?
Yeah, or some Asians.
Yeah. I think that happened after this documentary was made, but I remember that.
That's crazy,
but
man.
If you played World of Warcraft, because I played World of Warcraft right around that time. That was like at its peak when Burning Crusade came out, and that's when I was like heavy into it. So for me, it was like a trip watching that. And I know you guys, with all the EverQuest that you played, would probably get a lot out of it too. But if you played either of those games, I'd definitely recommend watching that doc.
Cool.
You know, one of our friends recently, his girlfriend plays Might with him. And I always thought that playing with your girl might be the most awesome thing of all time. But hearing them interact in the game, it's just like more nagging. But now it's like in-game stuff. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. Oh, what are you doing that for? And it's like, oh, geez, maybe it's not the greatest thing ever.
I've always said I don't want my girl to play video games because I want my video game time to be separate from my relationship.
A lot of it is escapism, right?
I don't want those two worlds to collide. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
There are some games that you can. We've talked about that before, but not Smite.
Man, I didn't make one dick joke this whole time.
Well, make it right now. You got your chance.
Let's go out on a dick joke.
Do you want to do the wrap-up there, Bobby?
The wrap-up. Yeah. All right. Yeah, check out our Steam group, DL Gaming, on Steam. Weekly giveaways going on Fridays, 5 o'clock. Going to be doing that until I run out of games, and then any new games
so
I get
forever.
No, we had a lot of people, because I finally posted my activity feed. If anyone's joining us because of that, you know, welcome to the podcast. But a lot of them went last week, so which is good, because they were really starting to pile up. But I will continue to post whatever extra games I have, and they are there for the taking. Screenshot contest, get that in this week.
Why wouldn't you? Just take one. Who cares?
Yeah.
$60 game, or up to a $60 game.
Yeah. Yep. So, email address. If you want to email us, dudes at dlgaming.net. Feel free to friend us on Steam as well. Website is dlgaming.net. Any topics you want to hear us discuss, let us know.
Discussions.
Yeah.
Don't forget our Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Twitter, dlgaming, dot net. Follow us on there.
Yep. Cool. Later.
Titties.